You're listening to Abstinence After Sex. Hi, this is Bethany, your host of Abstinence After Sex, and I'm so happy that you tuned into this podcast, and I'm so blessed to be able to announce the launch of our very first show. Yay! So you probably tuned into this podcast just because of its name. And more than likely, you have some ideas of what we'll be talking about. But I wanted to use this specific show to clarify some things and also to cover the topic of today's show, which is decisions. So we're going to talk about why I made the decision to create this podcast. And we're also going to talk about what the Bible says about the decisions that we make and how they affect our lives. Let me start by saying that I am not a dating coach. I am not a licensed minister. I am simply a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a PK. I'm just a vessel that God is using to get his point across about this specific subject. And the main purpose of this podcast is to help women who want to do things differently in their sex lives. So you've tried society's way of doing things. You tried your best friend's advice. You tried your mom's way of having relationships. And you want something different. You want to try God's way. This podcast is to help you in that transition, in that journey of being abstinent and forming a relationship with God. And if you feel as though, abstinence is not for you, it's okay. You can still listen to this podcast. You can still get great value out of this podcast. It took me some time. It took me like a couple of months to actually commit to being abstinent. And I completely understand. But don't let that steer you away from getting great value into your life. Fair warning. Things will get personal on this podcast. I'll be sharing a lot about my past, and I'll be sharing a lot about the current things that I'm dealing with because of my decision to become abstinent. I'll be sharing a lot about my relationships, both romantic and friendship-wise. But I won't be sharing any names, so if you know me personally, don't feel alarmed. I won't be sharing any specific details, but I'll be using my stories in order to help you or in order to help other people, because you might be going through the same things that I went through. You might be going through the same things that I'm going through right now. And I just want to share my story in order to help you through this process and through this journey. It is so important to me that you view this space as a judgment-free zone. And I want you to know that everything that I say is said out of love. And I really want you to drill that into your head. So I'm going to say it again. Everything that I say is said out of love. And I say this because most of the principles that I'll be giving you are from the Bible. And the Bible is God's truth, and it's a cliche, but truth hurts. And I had to deal with God's truth myself. I had to deal with him, his word telling me that the things that I were doing were wrong, the things that I were thinking, my mentality, the way I was carrying myself was wrong. And I wanted to use this podcast to just help you in this journey. And I know the main question that you're asking right now is why? Why, Bethany? Why would anyone ever give up having sex? Sex is great. Yes, sex is great. Sex is a wonderful thing. Sex is God's idea. But it's only great when we do it in the context that God created it for, which is marriage. So, yes, sex is great. Sex is wonderful. I love sex, but I love and respect God more, and I really want to carry out not only the purpose that he has in my life, but I want to help him carry out the purpose he has for you and for your life. So if I have to stop having sex for him to reach you, then so be it. Because your life means so much more to me than a couple of minutes of passionate sex. So there are three main reasons why I chose to start Abstinence After Sex. The first reason was to break generational curses. And if you don't know what a generational curse is, a generational curse is basically a problem that's in your family that's been like passed down. So there are like financial generational curses. So everybody in your family lives like paycheck to paycheck. You guys have problems holding on to money, getting money, keeping money. You have like bad spending habits. So that's like a financial generational curse. You could have like a generational curse of negative speaking. So everybody in your family says I can't do this, we can't do that, you're no good, and it's just negative speaking. But the generational curse that I wanted to break from off of my family is sexual impurity. I wanted to be that person who decided to reshape the way that the women in my family view sex. I wanted to reshape the way that we carry ourselves when it comes to our sexual identity and just our relationships. And I'm not saying that my family, we were out here like having sex with everyone, but we all had sex. We all decided not to have sex God's way. We all decided to have sex before marriage. And I wanted to change the way that the generations after me carry ourselves. I wanted to change the way we value ourselves, because I didn't want Olivia, my daughter, I didn't want her to be like me. Or I didn't want her to be like how I was. I didn't want her sneaking around at 15 having sex because she was looking for a man's affection. Or she was just looking for affection and love from someone else. Like, that's literally what I was doing, you guys. Me, the preacher's kid. My mom is a minister. I was lying to my mom, telling her that I was in after school program. But I was really out having sex. I was really out walking around with my friends having sex. Yeah. I told you it was going to get personal. So I hope you kicked off your shoes and I hope you got comfortable, because we're going to really dive into in this podcast. But this podcast is my way of ending it with me. I'm proclaiming it right now that this generational curse, sexual impurity, is breaking from my family. I am stopping it with me. And I hope, and I know that this podcast will help you do the same. The second reason why I decided to start this podcast was because I was looking for information on how to be abstinent. And yes, I hear you saying, Bethany, is just don't have sex. But I just need information. I just need, like, tools. So I was looking for information. And the main advocates that would like always come up were people who never had sex. And I wanted advice from someone like me, someone who's had sex before, someone who's probably had a child, someone who's probably dealing with dating and being abstinent, someone who's dealing with just being herself and being abstinent. But I mainly just wanted advice from someone who's already had sex. Because in my head, how can you tell me not to eat the cake again if you never even had it once? So, it was just hard for me to take advice from someone who's never really experienced what I've been through or what I'm dealing with now. And so I was searching and I couldn't find any information. And then eventually I heard a voice that said, Bethany, why don't you just start it? Why don't you just start? So here we are. And then the third reason why I decided to start this podcast was strictly personal. It was strictly for me to stay on track. I had to go public with this because it gave me a greater incentive to stay abstinent. It gave me a greater incentive to stay on track. It's easier to set goals when you don't have accountability. Like, and that's with any goal. That's with losing weight. That's with starting a business. Any goal that you have, it's easier to set goals if you don't have anybody telling you, hey, you're not doing the right thing. Hey, you're not being on track. Hey, you said you were going to do this, but you're not doing that. So I'm being open with you. I'm letting you into my life. I'm letting you into my new life choices. I'm letting you know my past sins. And hopefully we will get through this. I'm not even going to say hopefully. We will get through this together. We'll go through this journey together. And will change and have an effect on other people's lives. So those are the three main reasons why I decided to start abstinence after sex. Now I wanted to talk about what the Bible says about the decisions that we make. And the two main scriptures that I'm going to be pulling from are Psalms 25 and Exodus 34, but I'll get deeper into that. We make a lot of decisions really quick. Sometimes we do it without even thinking, and they end up having life-changing effects. Even if they seem small at the moment, and even if they're not like physical effects, they can happen within. So sometimes we make like really quick decisions. We think they're small decisions, but they have like lasting effects, and they have big consequences. And we make those decisions, and then we turn around and get mad at God for the consequences. That's like me telling Olivia, don't touch that stove. I know the stove analogy is like the biggest analogy, but we're going to use the stove analogy today. So that's me telling Olivia, don't touch that stove. It's hot, okay, baby? And she's like, okay, mom, I heard what you said, but I'm going to touch the stove anyway. And then she gets burnt. And then she gets mad at me. She comes to me like, mom, why didn't you stop me and all that stuff? But I told her. I told her the stove was hot. I told her not to touch it. And we do that same thing. We make quick decisions. We decide to jump into a relationship. And then when we get hurt in that relationship after we saw the signs that it wasn't a good relationship, and we get mad at God. Or we pray that God fix the relationship. We pray that God fix a relationship that he doesn't even want us in. We pray that God fix a relationship that's not even good for not even our spirituality, but just like us in general. It's taking from us. It's depleting our energy. All of the times that I decided to have sex, they were quick decisions. They were really quick decisions. It was like, I like you, you like me, we both look good. Okay, let's get it popping, let's get it cracking. Like, let's do it. And I would even like in the midst of it, like I would feel the Holy Spirit saying like, oh, maybe I should stop. Maybe I shouldn't have sex with this person. Maybe like I just shouldn't, but I would ignore it. And if we're honest with ourselves, every day we feel our intuition or we hear the Holy Spirit. I like to call it the Holy Spirit. You might call it intuition or just knowledge. But we hear the Holy Spirit talking to us saying, this isn't right. You're not supposed to be here. You know he's lying. You know he's cheating on you. You know that like you're not supposed to be in this situation right now. And we ignore it. We ignore the Holy Spirit flat out on purpose. We do this for one main reason, and it's because of awareness. And when I'm talking about our awareness, I'm talking about our cluelessness. So most of us, we have, like, we walk around with, like, a poker face. And if we have to be honest, we do walk around with a poker face. We'll, like, sing Beyonce. We'll post, like, inspirational quotes. We have quotes up on our walls and stuff. And we'll, like, say affirmations. But subconsciously, like, we are hurt. Subconsciously, we don't really have that great self-esteem that we put out on social media. We'll say, oh yes, I'm great, I'm beautiful and all this stuff, but we'll still compare ourselves to the person that he's cheating on you with. We'll still compare ourselves to like his ex. We'll still compare ourselves to even the beautiful woman that's next to us. We'll compare ourselves to our coworker. For what reason? Because we don't know who we are, or rather we don't know whose we are. And that leads to us not being able to just make the right decisions. Because it's hard to know the true value of something if you don't know what it is. So my question for you, and I ask myself this very same question, do you know who you are? And furthermore, like even more importantly, even if you feel as though you know who you are, do you like who you are? I had to ask myself that same question. I had to look in the mirror and say, Bethany, like, do I even like you? Do I want to spend time alone with you? Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know that you're a queen, you'll easily let somebody call you a bitch. It won't even be a big deal. It'll be like a little pet name. If you don't like yourself, you'll fill your day with distractions. So you'll fill your day with social media. You'll fill your day with Netflix. You'll fill your day with social events. You'll fill your day with sex. You'll fill your day with that toxic relationship because you don't want to spend time alone. Like, you don't want to have a moment other than sleeping. You don't want to have a moment by yourself. You don't want to have that communion and that alone time with God and yourself. Because it's just too much to deal with. It's too much silence. I want to say it again. You'll never be able to make the right decision for yourself until you know yourself. You will never be able to make the right decision for yourself. Every decision that you make, small, big, you'll never be able to make the right decisions for yourself until you know yourself, until you know what you need, until you know what you actually want. Not what society tells you that you need and want, but until you yourself know what you want, what you need in your life. You'll never make the right decision until you know yourself. And self-awareness, the only way that we can actually get self-aware is by being connected to the person that created us. And self-awareness is a process. I'm not saying that I have it all together. Like, I started my path of self-awareness by connecting, by reading the Bible every day, by connecting to God every day. So self-awareness is a process. I don't have it all together. I don't know everything, but I am getting to know myself more the closer I get to God. It's really up to you if you really want to know yourself, if you really want to make the right decisions. Okay, let's dive into the word. Psalms 25:12, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Psalms 25:12 says, "Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose." And I'm going to break it down to you because I don't like when people just read the Bible and they don't, like, tell me what it means. So, who are those who fear the Lord? When it talks about who fears the Lord, it's not talking about, like, oh, I'm so scared of you. It's talking about a father, daughter, like a parental fear. It's like a respect almost. So if you respect God, he will show you the path that you should choose. So he will give you the decisions that you need to make. And a lot of times we'll say things like, oh, I wish God would, like, just tell me what to do. I wish he would, like, come sit on my bed and just tell me what to do. But we'll never read the Bible. God's word, what God wants you to do, is in the Bible. We want him to talk to us, but we won't even start the conversation. We won't even open up the book to even start the conversation. So let's get to the verse right after verse 12. And this is my favorite part. This is the part that affected me the most. Psalms 25:13 says, "They will live in prosperity and their children will inherit the land." Yes, you'll get great benefits if you choose to listen to God, you choose his decisions. Yes, those benefits will, you'll get great benefits, you'll get a great turnout. But those decisions, the decisions that you make, not only affect you, but they affect the people around you. So every decision, good, bad, neutral decisions, they affect the people around you. And that's every decision, even private decisions. So your decision to watch porn affects someone else. It affects someone else because watching porn affects your mentality. It affects the way that you view the world. It affects the way or the things that you expect from your mate during sex. So every decision, private decision, on your decision to choose what to focus on, affects the people around you, and it affects your children. It affects generations to come. Like, my decision to have sex before marriage has affected my child. My decision to it hasn't only affected my child, but my decision to continue to be in a relationship with my child's father before my child was even born, my decision to continue to be in a relationship with him affected the people around you. because I already knew that he had sex with my, not with my friend. He already had sex with someone that I knew, and he already had sex with my cousin. But my decision to continue to have that relationship hurt my cousin. When she found out, it hurt my cousin. My decision to jump into sex before marriage affected and caused Olivia to be born into a broken home. My decision caused Olivia to have to live in a home without a father. My decision to have sex before marriage is what's like having me in a custody battle right now. And a lot of times we don't think about it in the moment because it's pleasure. It's instant gratification. It's like amazing. Yes, sex is great. And we only think about the pleasure part. We never think about the aftermath. We never think about who this is going to affect. We never think about the changes this is going to make in our life. Not only with the people around us, but that's important, but also in our mentality, because it's a soul tie. Every time that you have sex, even if you put a condom on, every time that you have sex, you're tying your soul with someone else. You're tying their emotions with your emotions. And we don't think about that. We just think about how it feels. We think about the physical thing, but we don't think about our spirit. We don't think about our emotions. We don't think about just our mentality and how that's going to affect us. We love to put excuses in the mix. Like, well, Bethany, you saying, oh, this affected your child, but he had parts in it too. Yes, he had parts in it too. But true maturity is me taking my responsibility. It's me acknowledging my part in the situation, because that's his part is not my problem. It's not my job to handle him. That's God's job. It's my job to take responsibility in what I did. So I have to take responsibility for my decisions and acknowledge the fact that my decision to have sex before marriage affected my child, and it's probably going to affect the children that I have in the future. It's probably going to affect my marriage. Because now I have to hold on to a relationship that I really did not need, and that's going to affect my future marriage, because I decided that I just wanted instant gratification. I wanted to have sex right then and there. Even if you don't decide to do it for yourself, even if you don't decide to be abstinent for yourself, do it for your children. Do it for your children's children. And if you don't have children, do it for your niece. Do it for your nephew. Do it for your sister. Do it for your little cousin. Do it for that child down the street that looks up to you, that's always running around. Do it for the kids that you teach. Do it for someone else, someone that's watching you. Because this is greater than you. Your decisions will change generations. Like, it will literally change people's lives because of your one small decision. But it's really up to you. So it's really up to you. Do you want 3 minutes of sex, or do you want to help your niece avoid crying over that boy that doesn't even deserve 1 minute of her time? Do you want to continue to hold on to that toxic relationship, or would you rather help your daughter know her self-worth and have high self-esteem? And I hear you saying, Bethany, my decision is not going to affect them. My decision to have sex is not going to keep them from having sex. Really. I want you to take a minute to look at your life and compare it to your mom's life when she was your age. I want you to take a minute to reflect on the drama that you went through, to reflect on the drama that's in your life right now, and compare it to your sister's drama or your aunt's drama, the drama that your big cousin went through. You probably both had to deal with like inconsistency in relationships. You probably both had to deal with domestic violence, somebody putting their hands on you. You probably had to deal with somebody talking down to you. You probably had to deal with taking care of a grown man. You probably had to deal with someone not considering your feelings. You probably had to deal with running back to a relationship when you know he cheated on you. You know he's lying to you. You are going through the same things that your cousin, your sister, your mom went through. You're practicing what you saw, and you don't even realize it. Like, you're holding on to that family curse that was passed down to you, and you don't even realize it. Exodus 34:7 says, and this is Moses talking, and he's talking about God. It says, maintaining love, God maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So what that means is the guilty, meaning you're doing stuff after you already, you're continuing to hold on to that relationship after you've heard this message, after you know that everything that you do, every decision that you make is affecting someone else. It's going to have consequences for you, but it's also going to have consequences for the generations that follow you, because you decided to continue to hold on to that relationship. You can decided to continue to deal with that sexual impurity. And honestly, some of the things that you're dealing with now, it's probably not even you. Like, it's probably the generational curse. It's probably your great-grandmother's decision to continue to hold on to stuff that she didn't need to hold on to. That passed down to you. Why? Because it continues, it's the punishment to the third and fourth generation. You're the third and fourth generation. So it might not even be your problem that you're dealing with. That pornography addiction that you're dealing with, that comparison addiction that you're dealing with, it might not even be you. But it's time for you to make the decision for it to stop with you. You are so powerful. You are so amazing. And it's time for you to just end it with you. So you can choose. I promise you, you can choose. You can choose to hold on to that decision. You can hold on to that family curse, that generational curse, or you can choose to drop it. And it's not going to be easy, but when you do it with God, it's not hard. And I want to take this time just to pray with you, because I can feel the Spirit, so I want to pray with you. God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for your presence. I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your power, God. I thank you so much for continuing to talk to us, continuing to love us. I thank you so much for allowing us to know our value. I pray for the person that's listening right now, God. I ask you to please allow her just to let go. Let go of that relationship that she's holding on to, that she knows she does not need. God, I ask you to end it. I ask you to end that relationship so that she can start a relationship with you. So that she can know how wonderful she is. So that she can know that her ideas can change the world. That she can know that her decisions can change lives. That she can do great things. And I thank you, God, for using me. I thank you, God, for using me to reach her. I thank you, God, for allowing me to pray over her life. I thank you, God, for not counting me out, even after I decided not to listen to you so many times, God. I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, God. And I pray that you just continue to cover us. You continue to love us. And I pray that you never stop talking to us. You never take your word away from us, and you never take your promises away from us. I thank you so much for breaking family curses, for changing lives. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Whew. If you don't know me, you should know that I am kind of emotional. But I thank you again for just taking this time to just listen. For taking this time to think about your life and the decisions that you make. If you need help, if you want to reach out to me, you can. I just want you to know how amazing and wonderful you are, and I pray that we can connect on the next show. Thank you, and have a blessed day.